You know, this morning as we talk, the title of the message is In Contrast, There Is Clarity. Can we all agree? You got to have contrast to get clarity. And Jesus was the ultimate contraster. Constantly reminded us. And, we are to be the contrast that brings clarity to the world. The church is supposed to be in such contrast in the way that we live compared to the way the world lives, that the world sees the difference. Is that going on? And we're talking about the church in America. Is that happening in this day that we live in? Disney. Right. Remember when Disney used to be a wholesome name? Right? Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom came on first. Right? Marlon Perkins, I think his name was. Yep. And while Jim wrestled the alligator, Marlon sat very safe in the boat. Get him, Jim, get him. That happened every week with some kind of a wild animal. And then Disney came on, and it was a family evening. And they've gone woke, and they've changed their values and their principles. Disney just came out with a new series, an adult cartoon series called Little Demon. It's about a woman who has a fling with Satan, and she bears a child. And now they make it look like it's so hard for this child to make it in life and people picking on him. See, once again, they make Satan something fun and cute. And this is the game they're playing. And it's going to be on television for adults. I wonder how many Christians are going to watch it. A lot of them, I guarantee you. How many will allow their kids to watch it too and just make a mockery? See, there's a decision that's got to be made of where we're going to stand. What you're going to allow in your house, what I'm going to allow in my house. And we're going to give an account for what we allowed our children to watch. Can we agree on that? Yeah. Right. And then we're going to give an account for what we watched. We got some repenting to do. Three of us. The rest of you holy rollers are amazing specimens of Christians, and I'm so grateful. But it's a season that we're coming to. We're supposed to live in contrast to the world to bring clarity according to the word. Amen? And can we do that? Will we do that? See, we know we can, because greater is he that is in us than what? He that's in the world, right? So therefore, the things that we desire, we can destroy, right? Because if we can get delivered from drug addiction, alcohol, porn, adultery, fornication, all of these things that God said, hey, I'm greater than all of that stuff, then a simple TV program should be pretty easy. 17 hours a day on your phone should be easy. Amen. Go look at your screen time. Because again, that's between you and the Lord. But the church, we've got to realize that we're not accomplishing all that God has called us to do. Can we agree on that? Right. And so tell your neighbor, say, this is all of us. All right? This is not me preaching to you. This is all of us. My heart's breaking for the pastors that are falling because some of them say they have nobody to talk to. Some have been disenfranchised because they said the only thing that happens is people bring their problems all the time and then they complain about everything that I do. Pretty much sums it up. But some men don't have someone to go to. Some don't have a great leadership team. Some don't have them that are praying for them continually all the time. And so they're falling out of ministry. That hurts our country as a whole. Because you know what happens when there's a void? Then men do what's right in their own eyes. Church in Texas is hosting drag bingo. Where they have drag queens come in and doing bingo in their church. And they're reaching out to everybody in their community saying, everybody is accepted here. as they parade down New York City. The Methodist Church has a, or I'm sorry, in Illinois, the Methodist Church has a drag queen for a pastor. Yeah. The Lutheran Church, they have drag queen prayer with kids time at church. And they bring the children up and pray with them. You know why this is going on? Because of the church. It's not because of the world. It's because the church has gotten a little too comfortable in a lot of ways with the things of this world. Can we agree with that? We've gotten a little too comfortable in the 21st century here. We've allowed things into our home and before our eyes and into our ears. And I believe that there's a time where we need to start cutting away. There needs to be a circumcision of the things of this world in each one of our lives. Because no matter how small or how big it is, every one of us need to cut something away and renew that covenant that we have with the Father for the souls of men and women that are diving into a Christless eternity. And for these men that are allowing these abominations before the in the pulpit of the house of God and saying it's okay, God will accept everyone that comes to him and repents and bows his knee and accepts Jesus Christ as the author and the finisher of everything. And that means your sexuality and every other area of your life. That's the ones that he says, come on in. Only through the power of the blood of Jesus does everybody check their sin outside the kingdom of God. There'll be no sin in God's kingdom. None. It won't be allowed in according to his word. Not a law in this land and not a man or a woman's opinion, but according to his word. And listen, we've got to love each one that's going through it. There's no doubt. No doubt. But love is not lying. Love doesn't lie to somebody just because we're afraid of offending somebody. And again, this is talking about the church this morning. And I want to encourage you because these are the things that are going on out in the world. And now it's being brought into the buildings that where men and women have sacrificed everything they have in order to build an edifice to stay warm and dry so that the word of God would be preached. And now they're bringing in this garbage into the church and churches are allowing it to come in. And it breaks my heart. Sometimes we got to tear things apart in our own lives, reevaluate it all. You know, a couple weeks ago, I came home. My wife had ripped every closet apart on the first floor. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm starting my new job soon, and I got to get these things done before fall. We had bags of stuff she had to get rid of. Bags, clothes, and everything else to give away and to bless other people with. Sometimes you got to tear things apart in order to reorganize. Amen? And I believe that we need to tear some things apart in our own thinking in order to realize what God's call is again. Because sometimes we back off when we get caught up in the things of this world. But we got to tear things apart. Last night, I went out to check the chickens and I looked off the back. I said, gee, something ain't right. So we go up there. Sure enough, a bear decided to tear something apart, our beehive. Yeah, he got all ripped up, the outside of it and stuff, and knocked it all over, and the bees are still there. Decided to go back and get my bee suit on that my wife talked me into, this bee project, you know. I was happy buying a jar of honey every 6 months. No, now we got to have bees, so I just threw the bee suit on and the gloves and got my smoker. You know, I'm a professional. And went out there to the bees and I wore my petty loafers without socks. And yep. God bless bears. Because they got about 10 stings on my feet when I went out there, but we got her put back together. But you know what? In looking at it, it was something that bear wanted. We set it all up, right, and we prepared. My wife has been studying this stuff and all of that. And then the bear comes and tears it apart, and what do? You start to rebuild again. Can I just tell you, that's where we got to be in our lives? Just because we get knocked down, we got to rebuild again. Just because you had to struggle in your brain, you got to rebuild again. Just because that bear came in and tore things apart, maybe your family is struggling at this point, and maybe you are in your mind, maybe your children are going through something. I believe that it's time that we got to get our suit on, our armor in the kingdom of God, and start to rebuild once again. And matter the noise all around. You know what it's like when there's 500 bees on you? You know what it sounds like inside that suit? All you hear, and one of them suckers bit me right through the suit. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a big deal. They say it's good for arthritis, so I feel good. But no matter what the enemy has tried to do, I want you to know God is getting ready to rebuild some things in each one of our lives. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost said, hang on a second, let's not look at what you've done wrong. Let's look at what he did right. He says to the Holy Spirit, hang on a second, he's going to empower you. Where you think you're weak, he's going to make you strong. This is why God's given us the Holy Ghost, to help us rebuild according to the pattern of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. He says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with dark? Talk about contrast, amen? See, it says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. There's one pastor I listened to, he said, listen, my CPAs, everybody that I use has got to be a Christian. I will not be bound to any unbelievers. And I thought, that's brilliant. That's what the scripture says, isn't it? Don't get in business with them. What right does light and dark have? They can't walk together. It's an impossibility. So he said, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness with lawlessness? So there's the question. If we're walking with those that are lost, do they know that there's a difference between them and us? Can they see it? Is there a difference? Is the light and dark drastic enough? Does it bring clarity so that they know that righteous has walked in among us? I was talking to Mike this morning, and he works at the Coxsackie Athens School, and he said they were having a meeting. Some of the men in there, they get together beforehand, and they were listening to a song. He said it was a nasty song. And he said, what, really? Oh, they shut it off. They said, we're sorry. That's contrast. That's what happens when we speak up. When they're playing something that's all perverted and all kinds of foul language, and we just said, I don't want to offend anybody. Offend somebody, would you? Sheesh. Got Christians walking around doing nothing because they're petrified. Why is it that you have to put up with everything? Why is it that the church won't speak up? Why is it that the fear of rejection consumes so many and stops them from saying, hey, I was just at a American Legion meeting, and one of the guys there, he's an older guy, the first time I sat down with him, he told some funny jokes. One of them I didn't like. And so the next time, the first couple were really innocuous. So next time we sat down and he said, hey, I got a joke for you. I said, as long as it's not perverted, I'll listen to it. I said, no ums. I don't want to hear no cussing, and I want no perversion. You got something funny outside of that? I'd love to listen to it. I did that already. For years, not into it. Let me change it. I said, that's fine. And then he said it, and it really wasn't funny. I was like, whatever, and I just shrugged my shoulders. So I went to another meeting, and he meets me outside next to the commander and another guy, and he's like, yeah, he offended me. I mean, here I am, I'm telling him a joke. I'm trying to, just engage, and then he just shrugs. He didn't even like my joke. I'm offended by that. I thought, my gosh, do you need me to change your diaper? You've been through the war. Now you're offended because somebody doesn't like your joke? Can you believe that? But how many of us get offended just as easy? Just as easy as I could not. It's never happened to me like that before. I didn't want to listen to some nasty joke, and so now I offended somebody because I shrugged my shoulders and said, But I want to win this guy for Christ. So I asked him, I said, why is it that you can tell some nasty joke and expect me to listen to it, but when I ask you not to tell it and I don't want to listen to it, you get offended? You got to explain this to me. I just think it's wrong what you did. Yeah, but explain why I have to listen to that stuff that you want to talk about. It's just a joke. No, it's not. There's a whole lot more that goes with it. And I'm not interested in doing that. How about we talk about the things of God? I have to go, he said. It's fine. We have meetings every month. I'll see him again. And I'm going to get a good joke. And I'm going to say, I got a joke for you. See if he says, I don't want to listen. What's that? Yeah, I get a good joke from Pastor Mike. Yeah. That's a dad joke coming for sure. But I just want to encourage you, because when you stand and if you say, I don't want to be a part of that, can I tell you how much trouble you save yourself? Me and my wife walked into a movie the one time. We were just away for the weekend, and we walked into the movie theater. We listened about 5 minutes. We didn't look it up. We were just like, oh, that looks good. We like him. We walked in 5 minutes. We walked out. went back to the ticket counter, said, can we get our money back? He said, why? He said, what do you mean, why? It's a horrible movie. I've seen it twice. He said, what's bad with it? Is that how the church responds, though? Do we stay in? Or do we step out? I said, oh, I got my money back. Oh, yeah, we got our money back. And then we explained to him, and we got to share with him who we are, what we stand for, and why we didn't like it. We didn't condemn him in any way, shape, or form. We just encouraged him. But it says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? The church has got to stop playing around with darkness. We've got to stop. You are an example to the world. You are Christ on the earth. You are powerful. You are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You are separate from the world. You're in it, but we are not of it. Amen? We're separate. And when we start to walk like it, everybody starts to take notice. Yeah, but I don't want to lose my friend. If they're a friend, you won't. You know, I'm reminded Smith Wigglesworth one time talking about contrast. One man came up to him and he said, hey, Mr. Wigglesworth, how do you feel today? He said, that's the difference between you and me. So what's that? He said, when I get out of bed, his first name was Smith Wigglesworth. He said, when I get out of bed, I tell Smith how he's feeling. He doesn't tell me. And it's so true. You see, because he agreed with the word of God when he got out of bed in the morning. He said he had communion with God before he got out of bed. And then the first thing he did when he got out of bed was start to yell and shout and worship God before he left his bedroom. 10 minutes. He wouldn't leave his bedroom for 10, 15 minutes of just shouting hallelujah and praising God and spending time in prayer after he had communion before he got out of bed. And then he told Smith how he was going to act for the day and what he was going to be able to do. Contrast, right? The word rules or the flesh rules? Which one? Which one are we going to agree with? In Isaiah 45 and 22, it says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is what? No other. Right, we can't look to something else. And we all agree that our salvation is in the Lord. We all agree that we all need help. And that he supplies it with his righteous right hand. And I don't think that the issue is don't do, don't do, don't do. I think the issue is do what the word says, do what the word says, do what the word says. Right? Most of the time we look at the world and say, oh, we can't do that. God says in his word, hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray. I want you to read. I want you to spend time with me. I want you baptized in the Holy Ghost. I want all of your sins washed away. And then I want you leading people to Christ. I want them training you. I want you training them in the word. I want you to travel the entire world preaching the gospel. I want to watch you heal the sick, raise the dead, walk on water. These are the things that God says, hey, these are things you could do. And what's the church say? I'm busy. I'm busy. See, but I believe we're coming into a time where your faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tested in what's coming. Right? It was written. It's written what's coming. We're not the ones that are scared. We're not the ones that are afraid. We're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We know that he makes provision for us all the way through. We're the ones that are grabbing those that are petrified, that have no hope in anything. Because if they're trusting in a dollar bill, they got problems. But I believe that God is looking not at the don't. And that's where the church gets caught up in. That's what the world says. Oh, the church says you can't do this, can't do that. But the church doesn't come back and say, yeah, but let me tell you what we can do. And find great joy in that. Finding great joy. Contrasting between the world and the kingdom. Not being tied to anything in this world. James 4:1 says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? Right? So the conflicts come. What? Why are people stealing other people's stuff? Because of the covetousness in their hearts, right? They got it. I want it. They're rich. They don't deserve it. I always wanted this. I'll take what I want. And that covetousness, that pleasure, that desire starts to rise up and causes problems. What causes problems in a marriage? Same thing. It's that battle between who wins, who gets what they want, who does what they want. It's the same thing. And God's saying, listen, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you're going to have to become what? The greatest servant of all. There's a contrast. He said, if you want to be great, then you're going to have to be the greatest servant of all. God contrasts everything the world says. That's completely opposite. The world says, step on everybody. Make sure that you're the one with all knowledge. Step on anybody you can. Make sure you connive. Make sure you do anything you can to get to the top because that's success. And we know, of course, it's not. C.S. Lewis said, you cannot go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. You know, and I think that in America, the church needs to change right now. We need to change what we've been doing to a certain degree in order to change the ending of how many people are swept into the kingdom of God because of us. We need to change what we're giving ourselves to. John 12:46, it says, I have come as light into the world, and whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Jesus is light. Anything that has to do with darkness, I got two words for you. Get out. Get away. Put it aside. Shut it off. Throw it out. Cut the cable. Whatever's got to be done, remove it. Because I believe he wants his kids to grow up. That's all of us. He wants more for us. And he wants more from us, not just skating through life. There are men, women, and children that are being brutalized around the world for their faith. Brutalized for their faith. We cannot sit back and do nothing. We must look at ourselves and see the contrast. When we do what is in the word, we prepare ourselves for more. When we do what's in the word, we prepare. How many want more? How many want more? A couple of us. That's good. I believe God's got more. Now, not like what's being preached out there, a lot of the more. Right? Not some of that stuff. Get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid. I'll say that again for some of you, because you're a little slow this morning. get all you can, and they don't do this much anymore, some people do, and then can all you get, okay? And then sit on the lid so nobody gets what you have. That's not what God's word says. God said, sow all you got, and I'll give you all you need. You'll never have to worry. You'll never be in lack if you'll sow. So if you're ready for more, the question is, can you handle more? I remember when they were getting ready to send us out of Greenville, and I had all of these amazing thoughts and ideas about myself, and I was wrong about what I could handle. How about you, Pastor Jeff? Do you think you could handle a little bit more than you got when you got there? You found out, we all have to grow a little bit more. How about Mike when you're over to Methodist Church? He goes, You realize when you step out, Pastor Tom, that you, when you stepped out, was a little bit, you had to learn a little bit more to handle his more. Yeah. You see, we think a little bit more of ourselves than we ought at times. Because until you step into that place of authority, that place of leadership, you don't know what it entails. You don't know what's coming. We thought we knew. I was a youth pastor with Pastor Fink. He carried the load. I just carried his water. That's what I found out. When I left, because the buck always stopped back there with him. And then when we stepped out here, I thought, oh, dear Lord, I spent a lot of nights crying, saying, Lord, I can't do this. I'm not made for this. And God said, I'll make you if you'll shut up and do what I tell you to do. And how many times do each of us have to stop complaining, stop talking about us, and start saying what the Word of God says, and then just do what he's called us to do? Because what he's doing is he's preparing you for more. But if we won't tell one neighbor, how can he give us more? If we won't disciple one person, how do we think we could handle more? Oh, God, just give me 50 people. You know, God's up there like, what? 50? You can't even handle your husband. You can't handle your wife. You couldn't handle one child. Oh, give me 50, Lord. I'm your man for the hour, Lord. Oh, God, just send him. I tell you, we'll change the world. We'll change him. We'll transform him. God said, can I just give you one? Oh, just one. But, Lord, all the pastors, their names are in lights. They've got cult followings. And if you don't do what they do, you're not going to have a great church. God said, I don't know. I could have swore I said, just go and disciple people. They didn't have neon lights back then when Jesus was walking. Nothing wrong with a neon light. But you see, that can't eliminate you from doing what God's called, because it's not like that. You've got to be what God's word says and do what he said. And that's what I have to do. See, that's the contrast. Regardless of what's going on around America, you've got to do what his word says. And I've got to do what his word says. And nothing less. Luke 12:15. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not. Tell your neighbor, say, does not. Tell your other neighbor, say, does not. Consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. That's quite clear, isn't it? Right. So your value has nothing to do with what you own and possess. So when are we going to stop chasing after it? Crickets. We have to. We have to. Scripture is quite clear. He said he sold all that he had. He got rid of all that he had, all the distractions that he had. And he went for one thing, the pearl of what? Great price. Everything he had was to get, to have a greater relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So it doesn't define you what you have. You are not a success because of what you possess. You are a success because of the Christ living on the inside. Amen? Each one of us, our value was determined
by him, the very creator of each one of us. If you want to lead in a greater way, then you'll have to serve in a greater way. John 3:26. And if you want to walk in the Spirit with great power, we're going to have to spend time listening to his voice. Amen? If we're going to walk in the Spirit, number one, you got to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Number two, you're going to have to listen, spend time listening to his voice. And that's why we're talking about just shutting things down. Galatians 5:17, it says, "For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." What a contrast to the world, amen? How many people don't even consider or consult the Lord and they just say, this is what we're going to go do, this is where we're going to live, this is where I'm going to head out, this is what I'm not going to do. I don't care what the Word of God says. I'll pick and choose what I want through the Word of God. And that's been going on in Christendom for a very long time. But we need to stop, because we need to be the part of that army that ushers in the greatest influx of soldiers into the kingdom of God in these end times. We need to be those men and women. If you're going to live in a world-changing life, you will have to lay down your possessions. You'll have to lay down who you are. 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." This is what God wanted us to have. He wanted us to walk in the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have to walk in each and every one of them. They've got to be our goals rather than the things of this world. In the message, it says, "The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." This is what God's looking for. He's looking for the body of Christ to be filled with grace, to walk in that love and that mercy, and to be those that are poured out for one purpose, that he would be glorified. This is why we got saved, amen? We all glorified ourselves prior to coming to Jesus Christ. Now it's about glorifying the Father. But we have to really look at the times that we're living in, because everything is at your fingertips. Everything is at my fingertips. Every single thing you desire comes quickly. And when we look around at what's happening, they can't find people to get to work anymore. There's signs, "Help wanted" everywhere to find somebody that wants to work. So many have allowed the government in and become the God that they used to follow. And they look for what the government is going to hand out so they can do less. Isn't that sad? You think about it. People trying to figure out ways to do less with their lives. I don't know about you, sitting in front of a TV for just so many hours, you want to do anything. You know? You feel like yuck when you get up, depending on what you were watching, of course. But just sitting there that long, doing nothing, and then some, their life goal is to do that. How can I do as little as possible and entertain myself until Jesus comes? Oh, I pray that that's not your thoughts in your hearts this morning, but that our desire is that we would, as Peter did on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they were wondering on what to do, and then it says, and then Peter stood up. And I think it's a time for the church to stand up. I really do. I have so much faith in the body of Christ, in our house right here. I am so grateful for each and every one. And I know that our county can change. If each one, when they meet somebody they know, whether they're getting groceries, "How are you? Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" How easy is it to ask? How many other questions do we ask? Who's your favorite football team? Who's your baseball team? What's your favorite car? What do you like? Where do you like to go to eat? We ask all kinds of questions. Can we start asking serious questions? Can we start asking questions about eternity as the body of Christ in a greater way? Look, at, I'm not here to condemn everybody. That's not what I'm talking about. I just want to realign, because there's a lot of the world that has crept in. And when churches are now having drag queens come in, we can see the disposition of what's going on in this country. We can see what happens when you kick God out. And even in homes, when we don't get up and spend time in the Word of God, time in prayer, and therefore we don't feel like we have any right or any authority to speak to someone else about the things of God because I didn't do it. And if I didn't do it, why am I going to tell somebody else to? Can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Well, if I don't want to do it, I can't make my kids do it. Okay, so why don't you want to read the Word of God? Why is that? Because the spirit and the flesh are at war. Who's winning? We know who's winning in America overall, because we can see it in the laws and the rules and the regulations. But who's winning in your head, in your heart, in my heart, and in my head? Who's winning? Is it the flesh or is it the spirit? Which one is winning? Which one needs to be brought into subjection? There's only one, and that's that flesh. And the only one that can do it is you. The church has come through a very prosperous time, a time when so many now flock for someone else to lay hands on, deliver, and change your life forever. And you don't have to do anything. Somebody else does it. Because of the anointing, we're used to pulling from the anointing from someone else. Right? Drawing that out of them. I need you to lay hands on me, and then that thing will break, and then I'll be set free, and then I can just live my life free. I want you to know, you can get delivered, but you won't stay free from one word of prophecy. You won't stay free by getting healed. That's not what keeps you free. What keeps us free is staying in the Word of God. What keeps us free is staying in prayer. What keeps us free is spending time with the brothers and the sisters, not spending time with the world, not doing what the world does and finding great joy in what the world is doing and seeking after those things. The Bible says we have come out of that world, and we truly are free indeed. Amen? But there's only one that can make sure that you stay free, and that's you. Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. Tell your other neighbor, say, it could be you. No, that's them too. Stop it. The only way we stay free is each one of us. And then when each home comes to that place of understanding where the Word of God, our spirit man will rule in this house. Our flesh will not have dominion here over us or our children or our time. And then when that house gets set on fire, guess what? All the houses around it start to catch fire. You don't have to go out and build some big church. You just got to open up your living room. And just with one person. Because when you make a decision, when we make a decision as the body, as for me and my house, we're going to serve him. We're going to get in the Word. We're going to get in prayer. We're going to make sure that deliverance stays here in our mind where we stay free indeed. And then when your house catches fire, it burns the whole neighborhood down. And that'll be a beautiful thing. And that's what we expect from every single person. Yeah, but Pastor, I've only been saved for about 6 months. Doesn't matter. I still expect the same from you. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, I expect the same. Because you don't have to be saved for 30 years to set your house on fire. The only thing you got to do is spend 30 minutes every morning to set your house on fire. Or an hour, whatever you want to spend. But the church has to get back to the basics. We got to become that contrast in order to bring clarity. We've got to start contrasting with the world. Was it C.H. Lewis that, or C.S. Lewis, sorry, that wrote the Screwtape Letters, right? And in that book, all about how to stop Christians, the game of the enemy. It was this, not coming together, not in word, not in prayer, being distracted. One of the ways he does it, too, by Some people flattering you with how much you've done. That's setting people up for destruction too. Because he has to get all the glory, amen? He doesn't share it with anyone. Let's stand up this morning. Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians, sorry, chapter 1. It says, and when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Because our testimony among you was believed. Is our testimony believable to the world? Or is it just on Sunday mornings? Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is telling me. He said, look, I want God to be glorified in you. That's what today was about. Last week, we talked about defilement of an evil report. We dealt with that one, right? No more gossip in the church. No more backbiting. No more tearing each other apart. That's good news, isn't it? Look at that. You can turn any direction you want. You don't have to worry about your back. It's not going to get stabbed or sliced or cut to pieces. Isn't that good news? That's good news. Now we know, listen, God's got a plan, and we are supposed to contrast between light and dark, right and wrong, flesh and spirit. Oh, so there is going to be a battle. Yeah, you were built for war. That's what you were made for. You're in a war whether you know it or not. It's a war for your soul, and it's a war for the soul of this nation and the entire world. You were made for war. You're going to be in a war until the day you die. So you better get used to it. But we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, we've got to know what the Word of God says in order to know how to fight and win. And I don't know about you, but I know that anybody that's on God's side always wins. Always. And I guarantee you, the enemy always loses. He always does. And he's going to. He's been put to shame. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that even as we look at our lives and we look seriously at them this morning, Father, we thank you for your grace upon our lives. And Lord, we know that your word says to pick up our cross and follow you. That you wrote something down about each one of us, as your word says in Jeremiah, before the world ever formed, you knew us. Father, today, I pray that each one of us would be open and transparent before you. For you know every word before we spoke them and every thought that's ever come into our brain. Everything we put our hands to. Everything that we have chased after. Everything we've done. And you said, I'm still sending my son for your salvation. And Father, now because you have given your son as a propitiation for our sins, we are so grateful for that. And Lord, we want to agree this morning that worship is more than a song on a Sunday morning. That worship is our daily lives. So Father, I pray that you would turn the spotlight on. And Lord, show us where we've been dabbling in the darkness. Show us where we've been playing games. Shine your light, oh God, in our prayer closets with you and us. And then, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give each one of us the strength to walk away from what's been controlling, to walk away from any distraction, to walk away from the flesh ruling and reigning rather than you. Holy Spirit, we surrender this morning. Our lives once again. We surrender our hearts, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And Father, we want them to come under the authority of the Word of God. For we watched when men tried to do it in our own strength, in your word. When you said you had to go to Jerusalem, and Peter said, no, you're not going. And you even had to speak to him. You had to differentiate between flesh and spirit. And you simply said, get behind me, Satan. Father, I pray that that would be our language this week when we spend time with you. That when a wrong thought comes about being a failure, no, get behind me, Satan. When a wrong thought or desire comes, we say, no, I'm no longer bound to that. Get out in the name of Jesus. When a wrong thought comes and says, you don't have any power, we can say, get behind me, Satan, for I'm filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And Father, every time a wrong thought comes, that we would destroy that thought with the word of God. To walk in your freedom so that thousands more would hear of a loving Savior who washed away our sins and transformed our lives. Father, let us not be a church that just goes through the motions. Let us not be a church that shies away from topics. Let us not be a church that looks the other way because we're afraid to confront. Let us not be a church that holds back your love and your grace and your mercy, but we pour it out into everyone's life around us. Father, let us spend our lives on the King of Glory. Lord, I thank you for stripping away things in our lives this morning. Lord, sometimes your word comes and it cuts. And I pray, Father, that we would find great joy in loosing those things that have distracted us. Loosing those things that where we compromised. We would find great joy in it. Whether it's a thought, a word, or a deed, Lord, we find great joy in doing your will right now. Father, I pray that you would stir each one up because you said you want to give them more. Each one of us, you want us to have more. And now it's time for training to prepare us for more. Let our more be more time in your word, more time in prayer, more time in worship, more time celebrating with those that have never heard, more time, Father, looking and to see how we can sow into the kingdom of God into someone else's life. Let us be overwhelmed with more. More of you each and every day. More thoughts about you. More plans that you give us. Lord, we know there's so many dreams and so many visions that are unfulfilled in this body right now. Lord, I pray that each one would start to dream again as your word says. Dream so deeply stirred to the very core of who they are. Lord, that you show the path that you have for so many and lead them and guide them. Visions, Father, of how to use their gift to glorify you. Father, stir each of us up for more so that you would be magnified in all that we do. Lord, we love you. We honor you. We love one another. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each one as they go. Lord, that they would realize they're here to bring contrast, to bring clarity. No longer just going with the flow, no longer just letting things slide, but standing on righteousness, standing in peace with great joy and love for the unlovable in order to magnify your name and change this world. Thank you, Father, for the commission you have given each and every one of us. We give you the glory for our freedom today. In Jesus' name, amen.